Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Larry and with Rick Sterling, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. It has come to our attention again that we are having difficulty with the phone lines getting to Blog Talk Radio outside of our area, calling the West Coast version of Blog Talk Radio. So again, my suggestion is go to blogtalkradio.com/SOT and you can listen to our program there on Wi-Fi. We encourage you to get your Bible out, get a piece of paper, take some notes. That would be appropriate for today. We also encourage you to put on your thinking caps, because today, as always, you're going to hear some things that will require you to process this information. So we will get started with that in just a minute. Before we do, I want to remind you of our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. You will also find writing by Rick Sterling, and we encourage you to go there. Our secondary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SST M, and there you will find lots and lots of good writing by Rick and the rest of us. Our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for putting a hedge about us today and making it possible for us to understand the truth, because you are the author of all truth. Thank you for taking care of us even during times of cyber attack, of the lying and the cheating and the stealing of information that goes on out in the wider world. Thank you that you have provided a haven for us here to understand and know the truth, which will allow that truth to set us free. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick. It's nice to see you over there.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Well, and, yeah. You know, people who are trying to listen to the phone, you can always go and pick it up on the website later.
Yes. If you have Wi-Fi, you can listen live.
Yep.
And if you just have cell service, you can wait till you get a computer, and then you can listen. A lot of interesting things happening, phenomena and other things. It would appear that the devil finds himself proverbial creek without a paddle. He has always known since the triumph of the Son of God and his return to the Father from earth how much time he had. And maybe he thought that he would be able to keep that from taking place. He would get his final jab at God before God destroyed him and the world. I'm sure that he believed that he could keep the whole world, everyone, deceived. Even those who said they believed in God and they worshiped the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. You know, I just was thinking about that. Who is the God of the Bible?
That's a very good question. Go ahead.
Is there more than one?
Yeah, that's right. There are two gods in the Bible.
Well, there are many gods in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
But, yes, the one... You will find that word God without the capital G in the Bible. The law and the prophets and the testimony of the Son of God. What is that? Is that the Bible? Is the law, the prophets, and the testimony of the Son of God the Bible?
It's not all of the Bible, unfortunately.
But it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
I read those two verses in Jeremiah, I believe. Jeremiah 8:8-9, where
twisted scripture,
where God accused the scribes for making changes to the law, and they did it under the perceived notion that they were blessed with wisdom to know what God meant when he said certain things. And how can we trust anything in the Bible if scribes are allowed to turn it into a lie?
There's an interesting variation on that. Some of the things I listen to, programs and stuff, people seem to glory in or revel in the fact that they can add to the official Holy Bible by finding all these other things that should, quote, should have been in the Bible to mix in with the...
How many are they? 600? I don't know.
So they usually end up with a toxic theology.
Well, you know that word that starts with a T.
That ends with an R-U-T-H?
No.
Toxic.
With
theology.
An S-T. R-U-S-T.
T-rest?
Trust.
Trust. Okay.
You see, the truth does not mean anything without trust. Do you know what I mean by that, Dennis?
You can listen all you want, but if you don't trust it, you will never believe it.
How many times have you quoted a text to someone in a discussion that you're having about scripture in the Bible? And they said, well, you know, when you read that text, they go, but God didn't mean it like that. That was just a spiritual expression that helps people with their faith, their walk in faith, that he wasn't really being specific. He was just being emphatic, or he was just trying to, you know, but he didn't really mean what he said.
Does trust mean that you accept the information as given and not feeling like you need to add to it or modify it from your own personal perspective or study?
Well, what when you think of trust and not, you know, that you trust God, but I mean trust in general, what is it that makes a person trustworthy in your estimation of whom you would trust?
Past performance.
So someone who has said that they would take care of something but then didn't,
I wouldn't trust them.
But someone who said that they wouldn't do it but then they did,
they're not reliable.
Well, I think I would trust the one who said they wouldn't do it and then did it more than the one who said they would do it and then didn't.
Providing that's the way they always operate. If there's uncertainty as to...
Well, the Son of God only used that parable once in that context. And he said, who in that scenario did the will of his master? So the one who said he would do it but didn't do the will of his master. So what are words? We've talked about that too. When you say, I love God, but I have the belief that the commandments have nothing to do with salvation and eternal life. I love God, but I'm not required to keep the commandments as an expression of that love, because if I was to keep the commandments as the expression of my love, then it would no longer be love. I've heard that many times. But what do you say to the Son of God's teaching where he says, if you love me, keep my commandments? And if you keep my commandments, it demonstrates that you love me.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Studio. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, it's showing that I'm on here on the phone, but it's not giving me any.
Because I tried calling Blog Talk, well, I didn't try calling the host, which means the computer's not.
Let me be right back.
would be all part of the White Hat plan.
Do you have another port that can plug into just in case it's
working? Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay, I've got the computer back up. Let's try this.
Did we get part of a program?
Yeah.
Like difficult part A and part B. Two files. Danube River last. One of my great courses that everyone get a topic or a something. You'll see what they're presenting. And it was like the northeastern border for the Roman Empire. Barrier to the barbarians. Homes, outposts out there.
Mm-hmm.
Built some impressive bridges across. This is the second Mr. Classify of Europe. And it empties into the Black Sea.
I mean, I got power to my computer. I'm not getting anything on the screen. I'm not getting anything. Not getting anything on this.
World events are interesting because it brings into play geography. That.
All right.
Okay, Dennis.
Looks like we're up. Let me just check this on my phone here.
I can do it real quick.
Yeah, I think we're up. Boy, that was weird.
Just checking to make sure that we're up and it's working.
I forgot my phone. It's amazing how naked you feel when you forget that device.
Welcome to Verizon.
Yeah. And that was using Wi-Fi.
Let's try this. Let's do... it should give me a, there it is, and testing 1, 2, 3, 4, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, got it, backup just came through.
Okay, well,
we got 19 minutes. See what you can do.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought. No, I know exactly where I was when we experienced these difficulties.
And by the way, just one of the questions that you asked just before we came back on the air was, couldn't possibly be Satan, could it?
Are you in Revelation 13, or had you gone on from that?
13. Still 13. Well, I have always said that I hesitate to give Satan credit for doing something that he had nothing to do with. And
you should never give anybody credit that doesn't.
I hesitate to blame God for something that he's had nothing to do with. Just deal with the things as they come and don't
point the finger,
place blame. But Satan's, and of course I am speaking from my own understanding of how Satan's mind operates, which I cannot vouch for or verify. But victory is what Satan has been working on since his rebellion. And although we all know God wins, we also know that God wins legally and lawfully. He wins because he has followed the law of war. For all intents and purposes, that's what he's doing. Satan's victory would be in how many people he could deceive to the point that they would separate themselves from God. Now, if Satan deceives the whole world, and we're told that that's what he's done. So he has deceived the whole world. Is that his victory? Well, it would be. At the time of the flood, he had a great victory, but he didn't win the war because there was one righteous man, Noah. And Noah's family were, I guess they weren't righteous, because we are told that Noah was the only one who was righteous in his generation. And I guess that would include his family. But his family wasn't wicked to the point of destruction. So he and his family survived the flood because God gave Noah the instruction that he needed to build the ark. The devil was about ready to win a great victory with Nineveh. But God sent Jonah. And Satan did not have a great victory in Nineveh. And what we know from the word of the Son of God is that at the end of time, there will be a trustworthy and wise enough servant who will be feeding his fellow servants their food at the proper time. What is the proper time? Well, there was a proper time for the Son of God to come to earth to feed his servants, his fellow servants whom he called friends. they were entrusted with his teaching to continue it on after he went back to the Father, and that he said he would send the Holy Spirit to continue the work that he had started, and she would help them remember all the things that he had taught them. But then almost 2,000 years have passed, and the Holy Spirit is still here. Is she the one leading the Christian churches? Is she the one leading the non-Christian churches? Is she the one helping and teaching all of those who express a belief in God and his son? Where is she and what is she doing? Well, I have read from Revelation 12 and told you that I believe the woman of Revelation 12 is the Holy Spirit, because she, her firstborn is the Son of God, and he rules at the right hand of God. So he is a prince, son of God. He is the king who rules over the kingdom of God. And this woman is attacked by the dragon that we know is the kingdom of Satan. And this kingdom pursues the woman. And I've had people tell me, how can the Holy Spirit be threatened by this great red dragon? After all, the Holy Spirit is God. But what is the Holy Spirit here on earth for? And what would the dragon kingdom be doing trying to prevent her from giving birth, starting with her firstborn son, who was taken up to heaven and to God's throne? What would he be doing when she is about to give birth again? And how would we know when she is about to give birth again? Because we know she does give birth again to others. They are not taken up to heaven and God's throne. Who are they? Well, think of a family. You have a father, a mother, and a son. And the son is the firstborn of the mother and the father. Who are the others who are born from this same woman?
Brothers and sisters.
Are they identified in John 8:32?
Are they?
They make the transition from slaves to members of the family.
And who are they? Not who do they represent. Who are they?
The kingdom.
They're sons and daughters of the king.
Right.
They are flesh and blood, right?
Yes.
Because the woman, her firstborn son, was he flesh and blood? Was
yes.
Her firstborn son flesh and blood?
Yes.
So they're flesh and blood. But who are they? They are the kingdom. They have to be the kingdom of God because they are sons and daughters of God. This is whom the devil has been trying to prevent from being born, these people. And because they are born and their mother is in the heavens, so they are born from above, but she is also here on earth. In spirit, she is the Holy Spirit. What is the dragon doing? Well, it says that he vomits water from his jaws, a flood of water, to wash the woman away.
We had that last week, didn't we? And that atmospheric river.
That was symbolically like that. But the earth helped the woman. I've looked at that Greek word translated earth here, and it has several different meanings that are related. And one of the meanings, it was the last one in the list. There were five in all. Said a specific area on the earth, like a nation. So the people of a nation, would it be that they opened their mouth and swallowed the flood? The flood of lies. Were the devil's attempt to try to prevent the truth, to wash the truth away. But we know from Nebuchadnezzar's dream that the kingdom of God that separates itself from the mountain of lies by the truth destroys the kingdom of the devil, kingdom of the world. I imagine that Satan's last gasp, we find in Revelation 16. And verse 11. Then from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and the prophet, I saw three foul spirits come. They looked like frogs. And in fact, they were demon spirits able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the world to gather them together for war, of the war of the great day of God Almighty. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. They called the kings together at the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. It's interesting to me that throughout the world, there are wars and rumors of wars all over the globe, from the South China Sea to the Middle East to the area in Israel. And it would be the ideal plan of the devil to gather all the nations together to support their chosen nation in a great war right there between Israel and Syria. And the devil's solution to his state of affairs would probably be on the molecular level of destruction. The reason I read the sixth bowl of wrath is I wanted to assure all of you, it is my understanding, the reason that his coming like a thief was inserted there is to assure us that there will not be a nuclear solution to the devil's defeat. He will not say, if I'm going down, I'm taking the world with me, and you can rule over the ashes. That won't happen. The king, the Son of God, will return before the devil tries to force his claimed victory. These are the last days, the final days, the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for sticking with us here today. We did have a little bit of a glitch, but you can go and listen to this program later on today and other programs as well. We encourage you to join us a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, and a week from yesterday, next Friday, for another edition of The Bible on Trial. We'll see you all then. Thanks for being here with us today. So long for now.